Seth Kim. I am a Mellon Assistant Professor in the Program of Cinema and Media Arts at Vanderbilt University.
Yeah, and I take it you have some particular research interest within the area of film?
Yes. My areas of research are mostly contemporary East Asian cinema and American cinema, so South Korea, Japan, and the U.S.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned in the email, I've seen references to the fact that this summer has the box office returns have been really, really poor in spite of the fact
right.
that there were some, high value movies released during the summer. So I was just curious, what the kind of the industry take on that situation was, what was causing that do they have any hope that it might recover before the end of the year?
I can't say for sure what people in the industry are thinking. So I'm sure the studios are sweating. I've actually seen quite a bit of literature and writing that people are quite nervous. And I think what they're looking at is they're hoping for a turnaround by the end of the year. Because even though the summer is a wash and one of the worst summers in the last few years, they're hoping they can turn around by Oscar season. Judging from what I can tell, and having looked at the summer releases, it wasn't a very good year for blockbusters. And that's not to say that there weren't any blockbusters, because there were quite a few. It's just that there weren't any sort of tentpole films or the sort of big releases that people look forward to and, kind of come out in droves for. So like these sort of films or franchises that already have these built-in sizable followings. Now, Transformers is one of the few, and that had a sequel, but, I think it was number 5 now. At this point, so there might be, as one of my colleagues, Jen Fay, notes, there might be a sort of fatigue going on where, people don't actually want to see the fifth outing of a Transformers. And, the Disney Marvel series is still going strong, and it had 2 films this summer, but nothing to the size of, one of the Avengers films. And in that sense, Thomas Schatz, the film scholar, pointed out that in 2007, Hollywood had the biggest box office year up until that point. And in 2007, that was $9.6 billion. That was the record at the time. And then since then, steadily, it's gone from about $9 to $10 billion. And then $10 billion, Avatar breaks $10 billion for the year, or helps break the box office record in 2009. And then 2015 and 2016, it was $11 billion. So even though summer can be pretty bad, and this is only thinking about domestic numbers, something like Avatar, or in 2015 and 2016, you have Star Wars that really kind of anchor the year's revenue. But the reason that in 2007, what Schatz says is the reason for those big numbers is because a number of franchises and sort of core franchises all had big films come out that year. So Spider-Man had a sequel, one of the Harry Potter films, Shrek, and Pirates of the Caribbean, and together they sort of, made this incredible sort of summer. But I don't think we had the same sort of thing happen this year. So that's one of the reasons. Another reason I would say is also, film has always had competition, since the mid-20th century, especially with the advent of television. And that sort of never changed, and, the box office has never really been the same. There are these sort of brief spurts, especially in the 70s with the advent of the blockbuster. But I think especially now, a lot of people sort of are of the mindset, that I don't necessarily have to go to the theater to get, let's say, quality entertainment. And there's really stiff competition coming out with, streaming media and venues like Netflix and Hulu, and especially the original content that these places are creating right now, I would say is probably taken a big bite out of the box office as well.
Yeah, I was a little confused about the box office numbers, the dollar mm-hmm. figures. Can
right.
you compare one of those earlier years? I think you mentioned 2007, 2009 to what we have done so far, what we did this summer. Do you have? Can you make that very close comparison?
Sure, yeah. So the numbers that I'm citing, these are actually the entire year, and only domestic, so only in the United States. And so last year it was a total revenue of $11 billion, which is, you know, this is 2015 was the record. So both in 2015 and 2016, it was $11 billion. So far, the yearly revenue for the U.S. has been about $7 billion. And most of that money is made up during the summer. But it still remains to be seen if, for example, in the next, September? So the next 3 or 4 months, if they can make, let's say, about $3 or $4 billion to match what was made last year. There's a new Star Wars film coming out at the end of the year. So it's still possible. But as far as the summer is concerned, from what I know, this is the worst summer in years, so a lot of that money hasn't been made. This is the first time for a summer to not hit $4 billion since 2006. So even though, you know, the yearly revenue isn't that bad, you know, usually every summer is making about $4 billion. And it's tying with the summer of 2014 for $3.83 billion, which is about what's been made so far, a little under $4 billion. But it is certainly interesting to see that there's a sort of downward trend. It's like there's a consistent amount of money. But another thing to be said, right, is that in 2014, the box office wasn't that great for the summer. So there's 15 and 16 was okay, and then this year also very poor. So this is, you know, kind of, it's not something that's sort of come out of nowhere, but this is a sort of emerging trend, I would say. And I think, again, like it has to do, a lot of that probably has to do with streaming. Although another of my colleagues, Lutz Kepnick, his point is, when asked, when we were talking about this in the program, when asked about why was the summer revenue so bad, his point is that the films just weren't very good this year, which I certainly think there's something to be said about that. And, you know, people are sensitive to those sort of things and very attuned with the actual quality of the films. But his other point has to do also with a sort of socio-historical and political context where Lutz points out that, you know, with so much mayhem going on in the capital, in the nation's capital, perhaps a lot of people just didn't want to see, you know, things getting destroyed in the cinema as well.
Yeah. Good point. Very good point.
Yeah.
All right. So let's finish up with this question. I'm just curious if you are seeing, your colleagues are seeing, or, you know, you're seeing reflected in the literature anywhere, any new and novel ideas that, you know, that the industry may try or are working toward that could turn things around? You know, do they have any rabbits, you know, that they can pull out of the hat to turn things around in the industry?
I haven't seen anything, and I haven't heard my colleagues bring up anything. And from what I can tell, and, you know, everything that we've seen in the last, let's say, I mean, if we go even further back since the 70s, my guess would be no. You know, there was a lot of hope for something like 3D and a lot of thinking along those sort of lines of you know, something really novel, you know, maybe a new technology, you know, something like IMAX, for example. And Avatar really kind of, you know, again, it broke the record up until that point. But I would say, you know, it'll probably be more of the same. You know, Disney Marvel is still chugging along. Disney Marvel Lucasfilms, you know, that conglomerate, and more Star Wars this year, you know, more Marvel next year. Warner Brothers DC is trying to do very much the same thing. You know, Warner Brothers is dusting off Harry Potter precisely because, you know, so at the same time, like as my colleague Jen Fay points out, there is this interesting, you know, franchise fatigue. People are sort of tired of remakes and sequels and rehashes. But at the same time, you know, they still make money. And so I think my call would be that the industry sort of still insists on, you know, this idea that if it's not broken, then why fix it, even though it may actually be broken.